Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near, and when he looked up, he saw a large crowd coming toward him. Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed out about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Be not afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior who is the Christ. Amen. We really know this story well, don't we? The feeding of the 5,000. It's in all 4 Gospels, so it comes up every year. And we've acted it out in Vacation Bible School, and we probably had this storybook at home when we were children. Maybe if some of us are children right now, maybe we know this storybook. We know this story, the feeding of the 5,000. If someone alluded to it, we would say, "Oh yeah, I know that story." When Jesus chooses to feed this multitude, this about 5,000 people, he knows that the devout Jews who know their scripture that are gathered there, they will find a parallel with what they're about to see and experience. He knows that they know that in 2 Kings, there's a story, which Jackie just read to us, there's a story about Elisha standing before about 100 people with 20 loaves of barley in his backpack, and he tells his servants to pass it out to feed the people, and they say, "What's 20 loaves of barley when we have to feed all these people?" Okay, so if you're like me, you're stuck with the math. I had to step back for a minute and think about this mental math here. It says in the Elisha story, it says there's 100 people and 20 loaves of barley. If I have 100 hungry people and 20 loaves of bread, I can feed the people. Now, you might be bored with your serving of just barley bread, but you're going to eat. So then what you and I are thinking about as loaves of barley bread, loaves, there's just no indication at all in the text about how big those are. If they were nice, fluffy, yeasty loaves of bread that we get at the grocery store or Panera, this story just doesn't play out right? Because there's plenty to eat in that case. But it is very likely that those loaves are hand-sized, that they have been patted out and cooked on an open, like a grate, And they are maybe little barley cakes, maybe we would call them, or a little piece of flatbread. However they are shaped or sized, it is clear that one of them cannot feed five people. Not by a long shot, because they say to Elisha, what's this portion of bread compared to this amount of people? So the Jews who are gathered with Jesus, hundreds of years later, they know this story. They know that when Elisha's servants question how the people will possibly be fed, that Elisha says, just start feeding them. And they do, and there's enough. Actually, there's more than enough. There's leftovers, right? They know that they've known this story all their lives, like we know Zacchaeus. Like we know Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, or Jesus walking on water, or changing the water into wine, or feeding the 5,000. They know the Elisha story like we know the feeding the 5,000 story. The people gathered knew the story of barley loaves and too many people and leftovers. So when it unfolds that way in front of them, when the kind of loaves the boy actually has are even the same barley loaves, when the crowd is just too big, when they hear themselves saying to Jesus, what is this portion of food with this many people? It's not lost on them that there is something of God happening. This Jesus that they've been watching and crowding around, which is why they were there in the first place, this Jesus moves through the city with the power of healing over illness, over demons. This Jesus is of God. And now he's recreating scenes from the life of the great prophet Elisha. Not only is this another miracle, in John calls all the miracles signs, but that's a sermon for another day. It's a miracle that points all the way back to the prophet Elisha, which now connects Jesus with the great prophets. And when the meal has been served to this multitude of people and the baskets have been filled with leftovers, they say, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. They're beginning to make the connection. This Jesus is the promised one. So what do? Do they gather around him and say, tell us about God. Tell us God's will. What does God want us to do next? We will do it. Nope. It says they decide that they're going to take him by force and make him be their king. I'm not sure how you do that to Jesus, but that was maybe the plan. We're starting to see that you are the real deal, Jesus. And since we know what's right and true and good, we have decided that you will be the king. Even if we have to force you to do it. We need a savior to take out the Romans. We need to stop living in Roman occupation, and you're the one. It's clear to us that you're the one. So we've decided that you are the king that is going to conquer Rome for us. Come on, Jesus. And Jesus' response? He withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Oh, and then he walks on water and, you know, just as an aside, we have this great text, and at the very end, he walks on water, which is a super cool miracle and also a whole different sermon. But here's the part that jumps out at me about the walking on water this time. They see him and they don't understand what's going on. Then he says, don't be afraid, it's me. And they realize it's him and he has the power to walk on water. And they try to grab him into the boat. And then, though they were 3 or 4 miles away from shore, immediately the boat was back on shore. It seems John is showing us in this gospel a couple of things that are very clear. Jesus has the power of God to do miracles, and Jesus will not be controlled. It's like we get this story twice, right in a row today. The disciples don't understand something. They don't understand, how are we going to feed all these people? And then once the miracle or sign has taken place, they say, oh, we see who you are, and we're going to make you our king, even if we have to force you to do it. And Jesus won't have it. In the next scene, they're in the boat. They don't understand what's going on. Again, once the miracle of walking on water has taken place and they understand that it's Jesus, they say, oh, wait, we see who you are. We're going to take you into the boat with us because you belong to us. And instead of that happening, another miracle happens. The boat, which has been miles offshore, is suddenly not offshore anymore. It's on the shore. So does it, you know, in Hogwarts land, does it disapparate and then apparate again? I don't actually know. The point is that Jesus will rule and heal and multiply resources however and whenever Jesus wants to do it. And you know where Jesus wants to do it? Among the poor. Among the sick. Among the marginalized. Over there with those people we don't like. You know where those people who are gathered who want to make him king are going to put their king? On a throne, in a temple, in a mansion, in the corner office. Every time we try to tidy Jesus up and say, come over here and do it this way, Jesus, Jesus says, oh, I'm busy over here sitting with someone who is convinced I don't love them. Or we say, come over here and do it this way, Jesus, and he says, I don't actually work that way. I don't have a calendar with events and alerts and GPS directions to the next event. I stop along the way more times than you would like. For there are lonely and hungry and scared and mourning people that need me. And as crazy as it may make us, Jesus invites us to join him. We join him. We join in his mission. We follow him into the world, not the other way around. We don't get to call the shots when it comes to Jesus being the king. And thanks be to God that that's true. Because we would have a great corner office for our guy. And he would never be in it. Today, in this sixth chapter of John's Gospel, God asks us to trust Jesus. God asks us to look at a small pile of barley loaves and see enough. God asks us to gather up the leftovers and just be nodding our heads, thinking, of course there was enough. God also asks us to let Jesus be Jesus. Let him break bread and walk on water and not control him. Let us let him control us. And here is the gift. Everything that Jesus does, everything he ever controls, he controls it by the power of love. So come, Jesus, come. Amen.